Good evening to you all. Before I share the word with you, I just wanted to ask you all something. How was your week last week? Hectic. I'm sure there's a mixture. Some will say good, some will say bad, some would say it was okay. I had a terrible week. There was just one thing after another. And even standing here today, I've got to give God praise because it was a struggle. It was a struggle to actually put this word together. But I know I serve a living God. Last week, I'm a manager. I work for a local authority and I have 16 staff that I manage. Last week was a week of what we call performance rating and review. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that. And basically, you meet with your staff and you discuss how they worked for the year. And I'm quite an honest person, so I told them exactly what I thought. But it didn't go down very well. One or two meetings I was abused in, but I serve God. It was a really, really difficult week. I also had eye infection, toothache. I kept thinking and going on things in the past, things that had worried me. They were all going through my head last week. It was a really, really, really tough week. But I struggled, but I know that God was with me because He is in me. So I know I had to be strong. And one of the songs that kept coming back to me as I was praying over the weekend was, My Shackles Are Gone. And I want to say to all of you here, if you've had a really bad week and you want to put that behind you, because we're going to tell Satan tonight to get thee behind us. Just sing along with me the song, My Shackles Are Gone. My spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord. He lifted us. Our sins are forgiven, and now we are free. Oh, praise the Lord. Our shackles are gone. Our spirit is free. I feel free now. I can preach. Right. Just going back to the what we just read, what Charlotte just read, which was in 1 Kings chapter 5. And when I was given that to look to research, I started reading from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 8. And I think I needed to do that because in chapter 1 and 2, it talked about David as the king and his last days, and also how Solomon became a king. Then you went on to chapter 3 and 4, where it was the reign of Solomon, how Solomon ruled the nation, and where God had asked Solomon what he wanted. And the only thing that Solomon requested was wisdom. And he used it wisely. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 5, which is appropriate seeing that we're building Frampton Park. It's about preparation of the building, a new building. Solomon started preparation for building the temple, and that's what we are going to look at today. We're going to look at the preparation for the building, the new building, and our relationship with God. Building the temple to honor God was what King David always wanted to do. He had promised that he was going to build that temple and call it after the Lord. But because he was focused so much in securing the borders, he was constantly at battle. He was constantly at war. So he was never able to fulfill that dream he had of building that temple for God. But Solomon acknowledged that this was the right time to build a temple because God had brought peace all around and it was the right time to build a temple. With his wisdom, Solomon went directly to Hiram, who built David's palace. He was also a very good friend of David, and he adored David, and he respected him, and he loved him, and he also loved Solomon. So he agreed that he will build this temple for Solomon. In this, to me, Solomon demonstrated effective, good leadership because he chose his workers wisely. He selected an elite team to construct the temple. He chose Hiram because of Hiram's vast experience. Then he went along and he chose Adonai to supervise the men. And Adoniram managed the men very well. He did this extraordinarily well because he created shifts so that the men could not be working all the time, but they spent a week working, then they went back to their family 2 weeks. So there was wisdom in just arranging the workers like that. In verse 7, that amazed me. That showed excellent organization and planning skills. And I'll just read verse 7 and why that showed me. Right, in verse 7, it says here, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, who has given David a wise son to be over his great people." That wasn't the one. I'm sorry. But just going back to the point, my apologies. In verse 7, it amazed me because it showed, like I said, excellent organization and planning skills. Because the reason I said that, I'll just say what it said, although I can't find it here. What it really said was that all the stones that were brought to the building site were already sort of cut out into shape. It was almost like a jigsaw puzzle that was being fitted to build that temple. Could you imagine that a building site, there were no sawing, there was no hammer, there was no noise. The building was constructed in a quiet way, and that amazed me, because everything that King Hiram did, he had the stones prepared well before they were delivered to the site. After reading this and seeing how well planned out this was, I remember when I first became a manager, I really messed up. I messed up because I allocated a particular task to an inexperienced member of staff. And I did it because I thought I was helping. From my logic, I was developing that person. But I was wrong. I handed that piece of work to that person, and he made a mess of it. And because it was one of these important work that had to go to the director with a deadline, I was in trouble. So as far as I was concerned at that point, I was not a good manager. What I should have done was pick the best person to do that job. But we all learn from mistakes, and I certainly learned from that, because I was reprimanded by the director of housing. But I learned from that. It was a real disaster. So from now on, I always select the best. Solomon spared no expense in building the temple. He used quality materials. even in the foundation where the stones could not be seen. Can you imagine it? You're building a building and you're laying the foundation, but you use gold. No one was going to see that, but yet still Solomon used gold to lay the foundation. And that is how we should work for God. We shouldn't work for appearance only, but we should excel in the deep, hidden things. All our work for God should be done thoroughly, especially the part where it is little observed by others. So it doesn't matter what you're called to do for God, you need to put that and deal with it in a thoroughly way. And the same way we work for God, God works the same way in us. He works in the deep, hidden things. Things that you may do behind closed doors, or you think no one knows that you are doing it, but they do, because God sees all things. And eventually, God will expose it. Sometimes situations can be embarrassing. It could be shameful, and you feel like you're being chastised. But the truth is that God is working on us. He's laying a foundation for better things to come. So when you're going through some real difficult challenge and you feel like giving up, don't give up. God is doing something in your life. God also deals with the church the same way. He wants to build a strong foundation to maintain solid truth. But in order for him to do that, he needs solid people with faith. And I believe that's what Frampton Park have. We do have solid people with faith. The new building, the temple that was built, was beautiful. It was magnificent. It was in gold. It was in marble. It was absolutely a beautiful sight to look at. The temple wasn't only an expression of God's glory. It was also a testament to Solomon's wealth. As we all know that Solomon was renowned for his wisdom, but he was also one of the wealthiest kings. It took 7 years to build and a lot of manpower. But it doesn't matter how long anything takes. If God is with you, we can accomplish anything. In chapter 8, verse 10, I've got it written here, so I don't have to look for it in the Bible. It says, as the priest came out of the inner sanctuary, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their work because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Solomon's temple was a place of glory. However, despite its extraordinary beauty, it was just another building until God moved in and consecrated it. So it is the same with our lives and our congregation. We are just a temple until God moves in. Our new Frampton Park building is just a building until God moves in. The important factor is not the building. It's not the building. It's the presence of God, and it's not the building. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't have a building. They didn't need one. Why? They had the presence of God. Moses didn't have a building. He had a tent, but he had the presence of God. In Acts 17, verse 24 and 27, it says here, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temple." And 27 goes on to say, "His purpose in all of this was that the nations should seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." So basically, we do not build buildings for God. Why? He can't fit in them. Simple. We build them for people as a place of ministry. Frampton Park is being built for a purpose. And just going back to the temple, through the sacrifices offered at the temple at that time, people were able to approach God and live in a relationship with him. They did not see their relationship with God as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we understand today. The relationship back then, the relationship of the people with God passed through the priest and the temple. So they had to go through the priest in order to get to God. But we don't have to do that. Jesus had proclaimed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that if they destroyed the temple, he would build it up again in 3 days. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They thought that Jesus was actually talking about a building, a temple, but Jesus was talking about himself. Jesus is the new temple. Jesus is God's presence in the world and in our lives. Through Jesus' life, through his death, and through his resurrection, he opened up to us a new relationship with God. Jesus has freed us from the necessity of religious ritual and going through the motion of religiousness. Jesus has enabled us to become children of God, to walk in God's kingdom, and to have an abundant free life. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said to them, and this can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, he said, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." Our body is where the Holy Spirit resides. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are also God's presence in the world today. That's why we are the light of the world. As Christians, we are the light of the world. Our worship is not to sacrifice animals, but we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we do that through service to God with our words and our actions. We may not be constructed from bronze, gold, silver, marble, but in God's eye, we are the most beautiful thing ever. We are more precious than anything God has created. And I want you all to believe that. All of you here this evening, you are more precious and beautiful than anything else God has created. Today we rejoice that we are filled with God's presence. We have a relationship with God, and we serve God with our lives. He is our source. Without Him, we are nothing. We may want to build a church so that we have a place of our own to worship and a building to expand our ministry. However, we must just give thanks to God that we are allowed to worship anywhere. We don't have to go to the building to worship. We can go anywhere because Christ is in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So this evening, let's just celebrate that God's Spirit lives in us and moves through us to God's glory. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord Father. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, O Lord. We thank you for the benefits, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us the special gift of the Holy Spirit, O Lord Father. And we pray, O Lord, that whatever we do, O Lord, will bring blessing to you, O Lord Father. We pray, O Lord, that as Frampton Park is continuing to be built, O Lord Father, that from that, O Lord, many souls will be won, O Lord Father. We thank you for everything that you've done, O Lord Father. We praise you, we glorify you, we exalt your holy name because you are worthy of praise, O God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the temple of our body, O Lord. We thank you that you live in us, O Lord Father, and you are there with us at all times. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.